power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Brother Chris, you can get that 1 Chronicles 29:11, and then you got a pen real quick. Luke 12:15, 1 Timothy 6:7-11, 1 Timothy 4:8. It's 1 Chronicles 29:11, Luke 12:15, 1 Timothy 6:7-11, and 1 Timothy 4:8. The first battle that most new Christians face, and unfortunately, some older but not so mature Christians face, is who is truly owner in your life? Who owns what? And the first determination that anyone will make before they begin to really grow in the kingdom of God is going to be recognizing Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord of all. That it's His kingdom. Everyone say His kingdom. That's what we're building. And this scripture in 1 Chronicles says, thine, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. Everything is for Him. It's for His glory. It's for His victory. It's for His kingdom. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. That's the first submission that we have got to give to God. Is that all that we have, all that we are, it's His. It's not my job. It's not my kids. It's not my house, my marriage, my life. As long as you have the ownership question a question, you're going to be frustrated in your life. When you settle it, that all that I have, all that I am, belongs to Him. Do I have a marriage certificate? Hey, that's yours, God. You gave me this wife. You gave me this husband. Do I have birth certificates showing children were born? Those are yours, Lord. Everything is not mine. See, in America, we get pumped into our minds such a status symbol that we've got to own things. That, you know, if you don't own something, that if you're renting, you're lesser. That if you're somehow renting or you're borrowing, that the independent spirit in America that just rises up, that puts so many people in trouble. And that's why our young people get in trouble. Because they get married, and with the curse of easy credit in this hour, they can get everything that their parents took 30 years to obtain. They can get it in 2 or 3 years, but get themselves deep in trouble. And then before you know it, most couples have gone through 1, 2 bankruptcies already within the first 10 years of their marriage or so. And that's just the American society. But it's not biblical. We don't own nothing. Even if I bought and paid my house, I don't own that house. That house is on lend to me for God. All the gifts that I have, everything that my life consists of is on loan. I'm not an owner. I'm simply a steward. And it's my duty to be a good steward of the finances and time. So therefore, I don't have the complete right to do what I want with my money because I worked for it. That's carnal thinking. That's this world's concept, and that does not belong in a Christian's mindset. So the first question we've got to settle is the question of ownership. When we understand that God has everything, then we're not going to be bitter because something was removed from our life. Whether it be a person, whether it be a possession, or whatever, a job. You know, worry is a disease. Worry is not recognizing true ownership. It's not recognizing that God is owner of all things. And that if He allowed something to leave my life, then so be it. You know, I've been tempted to worry about this whole building project. It has been a heavy weight. And there's been some curves been thrown in the past week. But I've had to find just back up and say, okay, God, this is not my building project. This is not my church. You've only called me here to serve this city and to serve this people. So God, You have all things. I don't believe anything can happen out of Your control. So in Your divine knowledge, You've decided to let this loan company to reduce our amount and give us what they've given us, and I'm not going to worry about it. And if not a piece of steel goes up, so what? We're still going to have revival. We're still going to baptize souls. We're still going to see things happen. I'm still going to do what I called to do. I don't have to have a steel building erected to do what God has called me to do. So it's senseless for me to worry. Because I'm not the owner. I'm just the steward. I'm not the one that is the final authority. God is. And if He chooses to change something, if He chooses my life to change, a job to be dissolved, or a possession to be lost, a car to be wrecked, a person, so what? I'm in this for the long run. And I'm telling you, I'm laying my treasures up in heaven. Because when the rapture takes place, we're not going to take one car with us. We're not going to take one CD with us. We're not going to take anything but the people that we've invested love and relationship and power of God and truth into. That's what matters. So put your hands together and praise Him. Ownership. So I don't have a right to say that, you know, I'm not going to give. I give because it's my duty. I build. I do things with the kingdom of God because that's what I'm called to do. Because I'm just a steward. Everyone say a steward. Say, I'm a steward. To your neighbor and say, I'm a steward. Luke 12 and 15, He said unto them, take heed, beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance. I've quoted this scripture probably 100 times this week. I've quoted it to bankers. I've quoted it to contractors. When they start, I'm saying, well, a man's life doesn't consist of, who cares if we have a hand-flushed toilet by versus a electronic ray beam one? Hello, somebody. I don't care. You see, if you covet this, then the world can set a trap for you. Salesmen love people that are covetous. Because they're not going to sell you the basic package. They're going to give you the toys and whistles and everything you don't need. Oh, I know I'm treading on. But that's all right. This is truth. You want truth or you want soft soap? You want to hear the word of God or you want me to stand up here and just smooth you? Well, I'm not a smooth master. I just don't do those things. He said, beware! Avoid it! Be careful! How many of you warn your kids? Be careful about that hot stove because you know the danger. Don't play with that rattlesnake. Little Jimmy, don't pull that doggy's ears. Because you know there's a consequence. God's saying beware of this because a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses. That's hard for a man because a man's all about getting and domineering and power and I'm this and I've got, you know, the biggest truck and the biggest engine and the widest tires and I've got this and I'm, you know, beware when that starts creeping up on you. Verse 56, 7 through 11. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. You can't take it with you. I've seen them stack their dollar bills and diamonds in their caskets. All that does is invite someone to come and rob the grave. You ain't going to take it with you. The only thing we take with us is my precious children, if I lead them in truth, is those that I contact and I share the gospel with. That's the only thing that's going with us out of here. And our experiences of giving our lives, our time, and our energies to God's kingdom. We came to this world with nothing. We're going to leave without it. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. That we will be rich. Fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, everyone say the love of money. It's not having things that gets you, from things have you. If God can't touch anything in your life and remove it, if you lose your spirituality and you quit serving God just because you're going through a hard time financially, just because you can't eat at Chili's and Applebee's, but you got to go down to Hardee's. Hello, I'm knocking on someone's door here today. Then you better watch out. Because you don't got to be a millionaire to lust after money. You don't got to have thousands of dollars. All you got to do is love money. There's no difference between loving $10 and loving $1 million. Loving is loving. And if you're covetous and that money's got its grip on you and you'll give up things that matter, then you better watch out. The love of money is the root of all evil. Right now, the biggest headache I have, am I right, Brother Ronnie? With this whole building project, has one problem. Money. Nothing more. It's not weather. It's not. It's money. People, this whole world is about greed, greed, greed. Get. Lie, cheat, steal to get ahead. God's kingdom. Everything about God's kingdom is souls, souls, souls. Serving God. Submission to God's will. The love of money is the root of all evil. While some covet it after, they err in the faith. And they pierce them through. That's why it's such a farce to give up the things of God for promotion. That's why it's such a farce to give up quality family time to make an extra buck. Because all you're really getting is sorrows, and you're becoming pierced through, and your faith is being lost. The Bible says, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. That's how you can know when you're blessed of God. Because sorrow doesn't come with it. When God blesses you, your spiritual life is enhanced, and you move forward. The blessings of the world, you better watch this. You better look out. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. I'm going to read, and we'll read the last scripture in a little bit. I'm going to read you something here that's very powerful. Perspective governs life in remarkable ways. Consider the story of the blind man who attempted to describe an elephant. He put his arms around one of the animal's massive legs and he said, "The bark is very rough." He felt the tusk and said, "The branches are smooth but strong." Finally, he handled the giant ear and remarked, "The elephant's leaves are huge." In conclusion, he declared, "The elephant is one of the world's most unusual trees." Lest we laugh at the blind man's misperception, let's remember that we too can get things very wrong at times in life. Even those of us who have learned that God owns everything act as if He really doesn't. The first indisputable law of stewardship is the law of rightful ownership, which says, nothing truly belongs to us. Everything, say everything, truly belongs to God. King David acknowledged this when he stated categorically, "Everything in heaven and earth is yours, O Lord." And he adds right after that statement, "Wealth, honor comes from you, not because I work hard." There's a lot of people that work hard and get nowhere because they're not honoring God. When you honor God, wealth and honor comes from Him. When we are blessed with money and material things, and when we receive a claim for any accomplishment we may have, we're getting not what we deserve, but what God in His grace lovingly allows us to enjoy and to care for. The essence of life is not ownership, but stewardship. The faithful management of all that God entrusts us. Some of us are entrusted with a lot. Some of us with a little. It depends on how much God can trust us with. But whatever comes to us brings with it an undeniable responsibility. The temptation is to think that the abundance is found in possessing life's benefits, when actually it's discovered in being a steward of what God has given you. Not wishing for more, not lusting and coveting other people's positions and finances and blessings and marriages and relationships and whatever else, that's managing what you have. Because until you can properly manage and be a steward of what God gives you, no matter how much you pray, how much you fast, God will not give you more. That's why Jesus warned, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. There's only one rightful owner, and true satisfaction comes to us when we acknowledge him and wisely manage his resources. In what ways can we put this truth into practice? Obviously, this is a tough task, since the steward mindset is so different and at odds with the prevailing North American attitude of ownership. Neither everyone falls prey to the notion that life is more fulfilling if we simply have more things. Under the constant barrage of advertisement and appeals, it's easy to give in to the belief that we deserve everything that we get, and that we get happiness from that car, that dress, that suit. You fill in the blank. But it's not true. We run a major risk when we look at life in terms of our things, our money, our possessions, our abilities, our ministries, our opinions, our achievements. As the Bible says, we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out. John D. Rockefeller, America's first oil baron, was the richest man in the world. In the early years of the 20th century, his business accounted for one of every $30 generated in the United States. That's pretty powerful. In today's currency, that will be equal to a fortune 10 times greater than that which Bill Gates has amassed. When Rockefeller died in 1937, a newspaper artist drew a cartoon which posed the question, how much did he leave? The answer in the next panel said, he left it all. And that's the way it is for everyone. At the moment of death, every possession, everything is left behind. Even these bodies that we inhabit. Only the spirit and the soul lives on forever. The real reality is found not in the physical world, but in the spiritual. This is why Paul told Timothy that physical exercise is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Understanding the real reality, the Christian steward is able to see life from God's perspective, setting affections, attentions on an entirely different realm, the spiritual realm. Setting our affections means setting our desires, the things that control our thoughts, our minds, our emotions the most. Think of yourself as a manager of a trust when you look at what God has given you, no matter how great or how small. You're not excused for being a bad steward just because you don't have much. You're not excused from stewardship just because you made some bad decisions and you found yourself so far under that it doesn't matter anymore. You've been given a key role and a great responsibility, so make the most of it. God is closely watching how you are managing your time, your finances, your possessions, your life, no matter how little or how much you think you may have. God Himself has entrusted you with these material things, time, money, and has given you great opportunities. Your objective is to maximize the investment of all that He's put into your hands. Think of each day as an opportunity for service and stewardship. Think time as a precious commodity, And we have a limited allotment of days, hours, and minutes. This is why Paul said in Ephesians 5 and 16, be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity. It's similar to the popular motto, the Latin admonition, to seize the day. But the believer's motto is actually seize the day for God. Not just for yourself, not just for wealth, but for God. In other words, live every day expressly for His glory and His purpose. In closing, think of money as a means to the end, not the end itself. The allure of money is strong and pervasive. It permeates our frantic, workaholic culture, but it brings no lasting satisfaction, happiness, or fulfillment. It always creates a thirst for more, unless one has the right attitude. When you have the right attitude towards it, and you're determined to manage it, instead of it manipulating and managing you, then you have the right mindset. Regardless of how little you have, or how much you have, God expects us to be a good steward of these things He's put in our lives. In the final analysis, the hallmark of stewardship is administration, not acquisition. Only by pursuing the goal of pleasing God do we find true pleasure and satisfaction for ourselves. Amen. Don't blow your brains out, brother. You see, it's all about pleasing God. None of us are immune. I'm not immune. If I'm not careful, everything can become a numbers game. We can start looking past people and start just seeing bottom lines. During this next 33 days, and again, please flash that book back up there, sir. I challenge you. This is worth your investment. I don't ask you to buy very many books. But each year, about this time, I do ask all the leadership to invest in at least one book as a whole. These 33 laws are something that you need to read each day. And I pray that on this journey, in these next 33 days, that God will speak to each one of us about, number one, how we are stewards in our life. Number two, who is truly owner? Is the ownership question been settled in our life? Are we still battling with basic principles because we think it's our money, our time, our life? If we don't settle this question right here and now, church, God will not trust us anymore. We have got to lay this before the Lord and recognize whether I've been a good steward, a bad steward, whether I have nothing but debt, or if I do have a little nest egg somewhere. I am simply a steward of that. And it doesn't just cover money. It covers time. It covers every resource of our life. And I pray that God will begin with me as your pastor to gently convict me in areas where I've wasted time, where time has been spent frivolously to where I could be doing something for God. I pray that God will convict me in areas where perhaps stewardship has not been where it should be with finances or resources or even people. But I challenge you today, recognize that He is overall, Flee greed. Reject the spirit of this age, which tries to get you convinced that somehow you'll be happier if you had a bigger house, a better car, a little more money, another $2 an hour, because that never ends. And let's just let the Lord give us peace. And I want in the next few weeks for God to turn the searchlight of heaven on my soul and search my life. So when we come out of these 33 days, church, we'll be better stewards of our time, our finances, and whatever resource that God has enabled our life. As I close again with 1 Timothy 6, 7, and 7. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. I challenge you, church, if we can become better stewards, we'll find out that we'll enjoy things that God brings to us in a greater manner. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. God, I thank you today for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for truth. Your truth always reigns. Thank you for speaking to our hearts about the true law of ownership. Help us to recognize that you alone, O God, are the owners, are the owner of everything we have and are. Help us to recognize our important and vital role as stewards. To recognize we've taken nothing, we've come into this world with nothing, we can take nothing out. And that whatever's driving us right now, that if there's anybody here this morning that is being driven by finance, that money is dictating their emotions, their decisions, manipulating their life, that you'll convict us and help us to return to setting our affections, our goals, our desires on things that have eternal